Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Will.
Hey, Christy.
So today we have an amazing, iconic guest for everyone. His Troy Baker. You guys are friendly, right?
We are. Troy and I have known each other for many, many years. So I kind of dominate this conversation because, you know, I've just known Troy for a while. That and, well, where are you, Christy?
I'm in Cancun and I just got out of a massage. Some fantastic vacationing happening right now. So
what you didn't see is the entire time we were doing the interview, Christy was getting her feet massaged.
It's true.
Just off camera.
It's true. There was actually mariachi music. So why don't you listen to this I Hear Voices episode and see if you can hear mariachi music in the background.
Sounds good. And Troy Baker in the foreground.
I hear voices.
What is time, though, really?
Oh, God, it's like a Roger Craig Smith conversation. We just had the whole philosophical thing with Roger.
Oh, yeah, bro. I'm going to finish out here in Idaho.
It's pretty perfect.
I miss... So we did Wednesdays every week for Avengers with Roger, right? And I never laughed as hard. The man can make fart sounds. I'm doing this because this is how he does it. But if anybody ever needs Sonic or Ezio ruined for them, I have just
it's amazing,
the best.
Isn't it?
We would send each other emoji conversations like through our iPhones, and it was just the worst, most terrible career ending.
I remember. So we will. By the way, we just start talking here. So we've done. We'll do our intro when you're not here because we're going to say
that's
amazingly mean things about you. But one of my favorite first. Moments with Troy Baker. I don't even remember what we were recording. I'd like to think it was Transformers, but I could be wrong.
Had to have been.
And it was all of a sudden us doing kind of X-rated takes on the end of G.I. Joe. Do you remember they like,
no.
You know, and hey, Billy, what are you doing with all that cocaine? Like, what? You're not supposed to snort it that fast. Now I know. And knowing's half the battle. And you just started tweeting it out.
Looks like you kids found your parents' porn bags.
Barbecue.
I just remember you tweeting them out the whole time, then just looking at me going like, and showing them, and we're dying in the corner silently, of course, as you do during a session, as you're tweeting horrible things out.
Well, we drove out. They wanted all the cast to get together, and I felt like eighth graders at a dance because all of us were like, there's kids there. And I was like, what are we doing here? I was like, who are you playing and who am I playing and what exactly is going on right now? And then next thing you know, like Will and I were like, oh, we're going to be friends because we tell the worst jokes possible. And I think either I was still smoking or I was vaping and you had just quit or something. There was somehow those two ships were the night. And so I was like, well, I don't know if we are going to be that good of friends. And then you know, I wizened up and stopped doing that.
Well, that, you know what
stuff.
I think it was, is I was still smoking at the time, and you were outside with one of, I don't like to bring her up because she's
the
a
robot
terrible human being all the way around, Mary McGlynn. Just one of the worst people you could ever meet in your life.
Wait, but who's the robot dick?
Is she...
That's all Christy
the vape thing.
I thought that was a person that you guys knew.
No. By the way, I can't claim the credit for that. I think that was season two of True Detective, and Colin Farrell had a line. He was like, "Why you want to suck on a robot's
dick?"
Oh, that works.
I remember that.
And I was like,
"That's what I was like." Nice.
Kind of exactly.
That was the
kind of exactly
only
what it
good
is.
Part of season two was that one line in the entire thing.
That was just
what talk about just jumping off a cliff. It's I can't wait. Like that, the first season. Man, this is such my vibe, you guys. I'm the biggest tangential conversationalist.
Oh, you've come to the right place.
Welcome to I Hear Voices.
So I have notes prepared. I'm like, no.
It's called I Hear Voices for a reason. Just follow the voices, Troy.
We're kind of crazy. it's been a long storied, interesting. And then we talked about Winnie the Pooh. There was a lot of conversations about Winnie the Pooh.
And by the way, we jumped off it very quickly. Mary McGlynn is actually one of the greatest human beings in the world. I was totally kidding about that.
Terrible human.
But we,
the things she's that she has done in private.
She's my D&D sister wife. So I don't know what to even say about Miss McGlynn. I guess we should get into why you're here, which is, of course, because you were the 1996.
Yeah, let's just jump straight to the existential conversation. To go from X-rated G.I. Joe to True Detective Season 2.
You're here because you won the 1996 Stratego Championship. Which is, of course, what this podcast is about.
It was 96. We did it in 97, but
we're 96. Here because we like to talk to some of the best, most influential voiceover actors in the game. And when they're not available, we call Troy.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start with you. I've got to be totally honest. I don't even know where to start with you because I guess we should start with video games.
Earth.
Well, let's start with video games because you've been in all of them.
There's six that I haven't. But we're working on that.
Other than
fired that agent.
Actually, being Mario,
Charles Martinet.
Yeah, Martinet.
What's funny is, so I've had to keep this secret for 2 years. Right when we started COVID, let's start at the very, very latest thing that I've done. At the very start of COVID, I got this. All actors do. I got an audition for something, and. This one stood out because my agent was like, I think you should do this. It's with David Fincher. And I was like, whoa, okay. That's not going to happen because every big director I've ever auditioned for has summarily just ignored me. I was like, well, let's just add this one to the list. And I could say, hey, my streak is continuing with one of my favorite directors of all time. And lo and behold, I end up getting the gig. And it was for Love, Death, and Robots, Tim Miller's show. And David Fincher's been a showrunner for it as well on Netflix. And for Volume 2 that just dropped. And I have no idea where I was going.
No. We're with you.
I love it.
We're on it. Where were we, Will?
Stratego.
Let's help our guest.
Yeah, Stratego, 96.
You got an audition and for David Fincher, and you thought you weren't going to get it.
And then you did.
Yeah, but now it feels like I just name dropped.
But that's
we were
an
talking
awesome
about...
thing to do. If it's David, there are certain names
that should
be dropped.
There was literally a reason why
I brought up this story. Yeah, we were starting at the beginning, generally.
Already, Troy?
Again, there's certain names I don't understand. I was just in a meeting with a guy not too long ago who kept dropping the name Sinbad. Great guy, but kind of a weird name drop. David Fincher.
That name's not going to get you in any clubs. It's like, sorry, man, we're all fools. Like, I don't think you know. Sinbad is inside waiting for me. No, he isn't. Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, unless you're at the Salads and More in Calabasas. No, he's not. He's not inside.
This might be the perfect time to let you know that this show, I Hear Voices,
is sponsored by
Salads and More in Calabasas. So just very quickly, video game credits, and I'm just going to hit some of the highlights.
That's what it was.
You go ahead.
I remember. So Tim Miller, if nobody knows, I've known Tim Miller for years because he runs Blur Studios, and so Blur would do all of the big Call of Duty trailers or video game trailers. So our paths crossed a bunch. And then we're on set, and they built this huge spiral staircase for this scene. So it was practical. I'm running down this staircase inside of this mocap studio. And I get it to the very top, and I'm like, this is a lot higher than I thought it was going to be. And we're getting ready to spin it up and go in for a take. And Tim Miller goes, careful, David. If Troy gets hurt, there goes 70% of next year's games. And I went, that's unfair, but I need to do my math first before I tell you that you're wrong. But no, it's what's funny is everybody thinks like you're in everything. I'm like, I can list a lot more games than I'm in because typically I do like maybe 2 to 3 projects.
But they're always the biggest ones is the thing. So I was going to read Last of Us, Final Fantasy,
great one,
BioShock,
yep.
Uncharted,
yep.
Far Cry,
yep.
Call of Duty. Yep. I mean, again, just it's like, so, hey, maybe you were only in 3 movies last year, but they were all Star Wars. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like that kind of thing.
The funny thing is I don't get to talk about the Call of Duty that one anymore because I did that one with Kevin Spacey. So it's
that's
like
a tough one to bring up now.
They swept that one under the cover. It's like, oh, man, I got to brag for about 62 seconds. And then it was like, what's going on? Have you guys checking out what's going on with Kevin Spacey? I'm like, wow, he's a great guy. I can't talk about it
ever.
Yeah,
that's pretty much how it works. But I mean, at that and you being in The Last of Us with Danny Masterson, and of course, no, I'm kidding. It's just like you've just worked with everybody terrible.
Bryan Singer originally was going to direct. Something happened. And then Weinstein.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
No, the cool thing is, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but we just talked about this for Jeff Keighley did his big Summer Games Fest. And we got to announce, in addition to this great indie project that I'm a part of called Fort Solace. This is where I get to start to plug stuff.
Yeah, plug away.
Which is, I everyone thinks that I do like the big AAA stuff, and that's not true. I really love being a part of independent studios because a lot of times I can get my hands a little dirtier and get more involved in the production. And Will, you're the same guy. You're like, how deep can I go into this project? Can I write?
Sure.
What can I do? Right. And I'm very much the same way. And so I found this studio based in the UK, and they reached out right at the start of COVID. And they're like, we want to do this full performance capture. We want you to be one of our leads. And I was like, great. And then they're like, you'd come over and you would shoot here in Poland. And I was like, awesome. And then just a second, there's something weird going on with COVID.
What is this coronavirus thing?
It is the thing that I really applaud. I mean, all of the major studios, it's kind of like a big ship. I remember the first time I got a fish tank, I said, this is my first one, so I probably should start small. And they're like, no. You know a lot about fish too. It's like, no, you want to start as big as you can, because if anything goes wrong in a big fish tank, not that big of a deal. If anything, the smallest, slightest thing goes wrong in a small fish tank, it kills the entire system. So as rough as it was for the Naughty Dogs and the Bethesdas and everybody else that were the huge AAA studios that were working on games at the time, they could weather the storm a little bit better than I think that a lot of independent studios, because they just don't have those resources. They have their budget timed out to the day, and if they push, people aren't getting paid. It's a far greater thing. So this studio was able to weather the storm, and the caliber of project that we're releasing is really, really cool. Roger Clark, who has played Arthur Morgan in Red Dead, is in there with me as well, and we had a great time. But we were just talking about how we're coming up on 10 years of The Last of Us Part 1 being out. And after the tremendous success of Last of Us Part 2, they were like, these stories are meant to be seen and played and viewed side by side. And so they did a complete ground-up remake of Part 1 to not only aesthetically make it the same, like one-to-one, but they also, the AI is different, and it's all the story is the exact same. But it's just crazy. And like Naughty Dog has been posting a bunch of stuff on their Instagram the last couple of days, just side by side comparisons from Part 1 originally and the way it looks now. And it's just bananas. Like, it's
how much you don't think it's going to change. And then all of a sudden you look at something and you're like, that was only 10 years ago. How does it look like a completely different?
We were cutting edge, man.
I mean, that's
like
nuts.
It's insane.
Has anybody pointed out that it's called The Last of Us and there's like 6 different versions? I'm just curious if that's ever actually come up.
What's really bad is one of the original, there was a commercial that came out in the UK and the tagline was, could you be The Last of Us? I was
what?
Gary, I like where your passion
is.
I just feel like we might want to just put that one back in the oven for just a little bit longer. It feels like the idea, but not the execution of it.
So until you like to say you work with the smaller companies, and you do, and it's something you enjoy, but you also are starring in a lot of these huge video games. Before you got into that, were you a gamer? Did you play? Did you know anything about world? Or you did?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I specifically, you brought up Uncharted, and I remember, like, In 2007, I was doing a shitty movie in Texas. And my only source of comfort was the fact that my buddy let me borrow his PS3. And this game had just come out called Uncharted. And I just played through it. And I was like, this is what I want to be doing. Like, this is incredible. And I found out how they did the production and the fact that they built these sets. And if they were riding in a Jeep, they actually built the Jeep. And they did this full, I'd never heard performance capture before. And so I emailed the audio director, Phil Kovats, and I was like, just want to let you guys know, you guys did a tremendous job. And because I'd done a few games and I understood how, you know, that's probably the person you want to be talking to. And so I fell in love with that, not only that franchise, but that process. And when I first moved to LA, they were doing Uncharted 2, and I was at Technicolor in Burbank, and I was working on probably Dragon's Dogma or something. And then right next to it, they were doing Uncharted 2. And I looked in there and there's Nolan and there's Richard McGonagall and there's Emily Rose. And I was like, holy, and Gordon Hunt and Amy Hennig. I was like, oh my God. I was like, hi guys, I'm Troy. And all of them were like, hey, get the fuck out.
Get out.
I was like, sorry. So all I wanted to do was just be like, you know, a guy that Nate Drake killed. And lo and behold, you know, 10 years later, I got to actually play, who's that guy? What's his name?
Rick Astley.
Nolan. Oh. Sorry. I got to play Nolan's older brother, which was fun because I'm significantly younger. I mean,
not even the same generation at that point. Yeah.
No.
The only thing I know of Uncharted is the movie I just saw with Spider-Man because I don't play video games.
Then you don't know much about Uncharted.
I don't. I've got to start
Hold
playing
games. Hold on a second. No, I'm sorry. What? Did you see Uncharted
it?
The same? Are they the same? They're not the same. I know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, it's Uncharted. No, they are. It's based on the video game. It's absolutely the same.
100%.
Oh, yeah. No,
oh
it's the same.
Well,
Nolan North.
No,
so, did you see Uncharted? Did you see the movie with Spider-Man?
No, we didn't see that one.
Oh, okay, because
no,
it's like there's a great he walks up on the beach and there's Nolan. I mean, it's like the you know, a voiceover actor.
And the name of the bar is Kitty Got Wet.
Yeah,
it's
cute.
It's
totally cool the
it's
way
cute.
They
it's
did
a lot of nods.
It's a lot of
cool.
nods
Look,
in a good way.
It's exactly what you want it to be.
Of course.
It's a fun romp, and that's which was so funny because from the same studio that did that, which was basically finally giving us an Indiana Jones-ish game. After so many people had just pined for, that's what they wanted. They wanted to be that roguish adventurer that was, you know, tramping through some exotic location. And so far, Indiana Jones was the originator of that. And what Uncharted was able to do was like, let's make it super fun and quippy and adventurous and great, but also have great story, great characters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they did five games. So then the studio goes, well, what if we did like a Cormac McCarthy novel as a video game directed by the Coen brothers? And it was like, wait a minute, hold on. That's not your brand. What are you guys talking about? And so, this is the pitch for The Last of Us. It's like, we want to go dark, gritty, real, post-pandemic world. And then I think what they probably, you know, got it on was zombies. They're like, all right, well, zombies are pretty good. We can give you one of those.
Yeah.
But what's funny is if anybody has the original, like, day one release of Last of Us on PS3, you'll see a sticker on the top that says, from the creators of Uncharted, which was basically like them going, marketing going, we really think this is going to be good. We promise we make good games.
Of course.
But they did not expect it to be a hit, and it is the biggest thing that they've ever done.
So now, you're talking about the process, which is a weird, as far as I know, tell me if I'm wrong, because I've never actually done mocap, but
it's weird.
A weird hybrid of voiceover and live action acting, correct?
I would call it, it's stage on film. So you have none of the encumbrances of what being on camera does, which is, we need you to hit your mark exactly right here because we're on a 27, and so we want to make sure that, you know, we really want the shallow depth of field, and we want you to step into it. Not only that for performance sake, but just from a production standpoint, you don't have to worry about changing lenses, changing mags, lighting taking hours because you're lit. So you're basically in a black box theater. It's very cinema verite for the performer standpoint. You'll have rudimentary sets that are built. And the actors are all wearing these incredibly, insultingly bad suits that just reveal every flaw that you've ever thought you had just is embellished.
Mm-hmm.
And
spandex,
these suits have these
right?
markers all down them. It is spandex.
Yes.
You can always tell if I'm talking about working out or changing my diet, I'll probably have a shoot coming up. And so it's like, what are you doing? It's like, man, I'm just eating rice and apples. Yeah. That's all I'm doing right now. And I just need to go do 50 push-ups
That's
right
awesome.
Now.
Awesome.
And then you're in this huge stage, and the cameras are actually all around you, and they're capturing everything that your body is doing. And then to top it off, to make you look even more stupid, they put a helmet on
yes.
you with a little GoPro camera right here that's tracking your face in just the worst angle possible. So in addition to that, there have been some productions which have now, God of War was one of these that famously did this, where they actually have a version of a camera that Robert Zemeckis created for Polar Express, which is, I think it was either Polar or it may have been for Beowulf, but I think it was for Polar, which is a camera that, see if you can track with this. Robert Zemeckis would go into a room called a volume, which is a mocap stage, a small mocap stage, and there are markers, just like there would be on an actor, there's markers on this camera. And so he would say, playback, and he would be looking on the viewfinder of this camera, the scene that they shot, as if he were in the room with all of the actors. And so he could move around in the space and see where they were. He could say, okay, I want to make this a two shot on a 35. And so he could step back and say, he's like, no, actually, I want to go over the shoulder 50, and I just want to see a little bit so that we're actually focusing on the kid. And he spent a month on one shot because
wow.
he could just constantly change his lenses and his framing. And they finally said, it's like, Bob, you got to choose your shot. So there have been versions of this now that have been just emulated upon or innovated upon and iterated upon. And we actually shoot, like we did this with Death Stranding. God of War did this. There's several projects where it's like, let's see what this actually looks like so we can choose our lens for this and choose our composition of our frame so our actors know exactly what this scene is going to look like.
Wow.
And so it's really this marriage between modern cinematography and filmmaking is finally meeting really what I think is the tip of the spear, which is video games. Because in a game, if I'm watching a show or watching a film, there's one opportunity for the storyteller to tell me all of that information. And it is all got to be either through dialogue or it's got to be in some form of expository telling, whether it be the cinematography or the set decoration.
Even the music,
or
yeah.
whatever. Or the yeah. music, especially. But when you go to a game, it's like we have this 3-minute scene or 2-minute scene, and then we have hours of gameplay to be able to introduce people to the world.
Well, it's totally immersive.
Embellish on characters.
It's your world. 100% it's your immersive. World, which is just so unbelievably cool. You're not being told the story. You're dictating the story. At least that's how it feels. And
right. And I go back to like early gaming. Like I remember Prince of Persia, and I played all of the earliest. I mean, I remember when my parents brought home an Amiga and plugged it into our TV or ColecoVision.
ColecoVision was amazing.
I saw two paddles going back and forth with the ball. Yep. And it was like the first screensaver because we would just let it go.
Intellivision, ColecoVision, those
are
the
man,
coolest things
that,
in the world.
That was like, and my friends I chose because I didn't have any money growing up, but my friends did. And so, you know, Tony had the Atari 2600, but Lily would actually have the Commodore 64. So I mean, like I would bounce back and forth between
Pitfall,
my different friends.
You want to do Pitfall at one person's house.
Absolutely,
yeah, it
man.
Was the racing games were great on ColecoVision.
Pole position.
What I find really interesting about Troy, you know, Troy, we have a lot of different people, and it almost seems like each actor is so different in the way that they approach their contribution to animation or mocap or everything that has to do with voice, professional voice work. And so with you, I find it really interesting in terms of your participation in this innovation and like what you were saying about trying to work with independent companies and stuff like that. But, you know, what do you think is going to happen in the future? Do you think that movies are actually going to be more AI and more, you know, like are actors even going to be significant or necessary, like live action actors?
I love this argument because especially what's happening in the AI space right now, there's a lot of fear. And anything that has proven itself to be irreplaceable remains irreplaceable. The second that is can be replaced, there's probably a reason why it should have been. And that's just the way that it works. I don't like it necessarily, but I think that we have one of two options and we can work and focus on, like all I can do is myself, is I can focus on how can I be the best solution to this problem. I can really, really zoom in to the micro level and go granular on this And Will, I feel confident that you've been in this position too, where there's probably opportunities that have been presented to you, been presented to me, where I'm like, I'm not the guy for this, just to be really honest with you. And you brought up Roger Craig Smith. There have been, Roger and I became friends because we would always be, not like, oh, I auditioned for that, but also, oh no, it's down to you and Roger. And there are just some times when somebody else is the better fit, and it should be them. And the people that are fearful will fight that and call bullshit and get up in arms and ring their agent up and say, how dare you, don't let this go, or be afraid that they're never going to get another job. But the people are like, there's another one coming, King's to you. Or even better, go, I'm going to stop you there. Everything you're talking about. And there was a specific one that this happened where I was like, I love everything that you're saying, and I really feel that you guys have a great project. This belongs to somebody else. And it went off to become a huge franchise with multiple iterations, and it still was the right call. So I don't ever go, ah, man, I made the wrong move. There's other roles out there for me. And my job, I look at my career as a garden, and if you've ever gardened anything, the soil will yield what the soil will yield. And I can really say this is a tomato garden, but at some point that earth is going to go, no, it's not right now. And you need to let the earth rest, and let's do some herbs, or let's do something else. And my job as a gardener is to make sure that I am giving the soil what it needs to yield some crop. But if I just want to hammer fist down and go, this is supposed to be tomatoes, eventually I'm going to have some weak-ass tomatoes that nobody wants. So my job is to tend to my garden and to be dutiful and to be as diligent as I can. And when sometimes the ground needs to rest, I've stored up enough to where I don't have to worry about eating from that garden. And that's, if you want to be in this industry, that's what it requires. Yeah. You are not guaranteed success. You are not guaranteed a job. And to try to level the playing field for everybody, I think actually weakens the fact that it's a really big deal if you're able to have any success in this. And it's not lost on any of us that are sitting here to say, it's like, we've been able to do this for however many years. It's mind-boggling that we've been able to do this. But every day I wake up, and I tend to my garden, and that's all that I can do.
That's very, very cool. Got it. Well, it sounds like a... talking about the things that needed to be replaced, it sounds a lot like the Murphy's Law, where if it jams, force it. If it breaks, it needed to be replaced anyway. And that's kind of the motto as you go along. It's true. But it is. It's also the statistics on working actors, when you actually hear them, is so ridiculous. It's like, it's something like 1% of all actors actually work. And of that 1%.
We're the most unemployed industry in the entire world.
But of that 1%, only 1% works again. So it's something, it's become so infinitesimal that everyone, it's become such a cliche when you talk to actors who are like, I feel blessed every time I get a job. And you kind of go, oh yeah, George Clooney feels blessed. Where it's like, no, you never know when this is going to end. How many huge stars were huge stars 10 years ago that aren't anymore?
That's true.
That talk with Tom Hanks where he says, you know, and it came to pass, or this too shall pass. He's like, when you're successful, this too shall pass. Nobody remembers Joe versus the Volcano. But Tom Hanks was done.
Yeah.
He was done. And it wasn't until he did another movie with Meg Ryan that he came back. But the thing that could kill you was actually the thing that revived and sustained him for a decade, was doing movies with Meg Ryan.
How often did Eddie Murphy disappear and then just come back with something great? It's like then 10 years later, you're like, oh my God, Eddie Murphy's the biggest thing in the world again. And then he disappeared. Then he's the biggest thing. Happens all the time.
Yeah, Dr. Doolittle came out of nowhere.
Just never be a dick.
This Oof. Wonderful business of show, my friend, has it certainly takes us all for a ride. So very quickly, because we would be doing our fans a disservice if we didn't, at least for 2 minutes. This is going to be the big video game episode, because apparently you've done a video game in the past. Whatever.
I don't
buy that. One of them hasn't come out yet then. But we got to talk a little bit about your animation work. Because I understand it, you are one of the only actors to ever... So we've had a Batman-centric kind of run on I Hear Voices, because I'm Batman, you're Batman, Roger's Batman, Kevin Conroy was on, he's Batman.
I'm seeing a theme.
Correct. But I don't think I can think of another actor who's been Batman, the Joker, and Robin.
to my knowledge, that is true. There is certainly no one who has played Batman and the Joker in the same thing.
Which,
and I know that because that's how Gary Mariano got me cast and said, we're going to use that as
course,
our
market. Of course. Gary, by the way, who we've known for years and was the original Kim Possible publicist. So we have a big shout out to Gary Mariano. Actually, he was a character on Kim Possible, a girl called Mary Garianu. That's a true story.
That's right, he was.
Fantastic.
That is a true story, yep.
Hey, Gary just got us into San Diego Comic-Con.
Will.
Will?
Gary. You're going to go down to Cardi's real quick and get some of this midnight. You're not going to believe what they do there. It's amazing. No, don't worry about it. You're a friend of mine.
That's Gary. That's a really good Gary impression.
All right. We're bringing in Uncle our guest, Gary. But before we do, Elizabeth, hang on one second, because I want to just talk very quickly. Your career, amazing, all the way around, you know, voiceover, animation, video games. Character, your favorite character you've played so far, followed by a character you wish you've played.
Good question.
Pursuant to this, it was a hell of a thing to put on the cowl. And I've certainly told this story ad nauseum just because Batman was the first graphic novel that I ever bought. I remember exactly where I was. It was at Safeway in Dallas, off Forest in Greenville. And I picked up, it was a mini comic, and I don't know if anybody's ever seen those, but it wasn't like the full side trade, but it was a small version. And I flipped through this and I was like, this poor kid just lost his parents. Does anybody know this story? And then what got me back into reading comics was right after Death in the Family. And I was like, what happened to Batman?
Yep.
And I had to go back and I was like, who was this kid, Jason? And like,
just holding him in his arms on the cover.
Just the
battered body
who
of Jason
Nightwing?
Yeah, just nuts.
So Batman has always held a special place in my heart. And especially like in my formative years, it was running home to watch Batman the Animated Series. And when it was Batman Superman hour, as much as I love Superman, it was always like, it was a Superman episode. I always wanted to see, even if it was
This is a happy days. It's a Chachi heavy happy.
Yeah, it's a Chachi episode.
Heavy episode.
Damn it. I loved that. Even if it was for nothing else. And I've even just started playing the theme song for my son. It was just that iconic Shirley Walker, you know, Danny Elfman.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It changed the whole ball game. And then also to you, I mean, I know that everyone talks about, you know, Boy Meets World and everything, but for me, I was like, holy shit, dude, I'm looking at, this is Batman Beyond. And it was the first time where it's like, I was always afraid that Batman was going to die with that show. And then Batman Beyond came out and I was like, God, it can still be so good. It can be iterated upon. And you could put Batman, you could put a new Batman in an old bat suit.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, technically.
So to me, Batman has always held something near and dear. Joker means a lot to me, first of all, because I think he's one of the greatest characters ever in literature, period.
He's Shakespearean. I mean, he's that level of character.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And everyone who has touched him has in some way left their indelible mark on that character.
Agreed.
Killing Joke, you know, and everything aside. I've got all of them right there. You can't see. But it was because it was a wonderful lesson for me, because I remember going into the audition, and I've told the story a lot, but going into the audition and realizing that I was auditioning for the Joker and not knowing ahead of time that that's what was happening. And I immediately got nervous and I did what I could. And I just couldn't get out of the booth fast enough. And then I got offered the role and I turned it down. And then I got offered the role again and I turned it down again. And it wasn't until I got invited to Ames Kirshen, who was at the time head of Warner Brothers Games, he brought me into his office and he played back my audition video. And he just pressed play and we watched the monitor, which is the worst thing for an actor.
Oh,
I never want to see their audition. There's something. He's like, ah. He was like, that's really good. I was like, thank you, man. He goes, no, you don't get it. That's really good. And we think so. And we're pretty smart. So you need to get over yourself and tell me why you're saying no. And I was just very honest. I was like, I'm really, really scared because I'm on a good run right now. Mm. And I'm afraid that this will be the thing that's just too far out of my reach.
So imposter syndrome hit you.
Ah, that's really
100%.
Yeah,
100%. And it's easy to kind of swim. And not to say that Joel and Booker were not stretches and we worked hard for that. But that was just, there's this quote by David Bowie that I love where he was like, when you find yourself so far enough away from shore that the water is just under your nose and you can just barely touch, that's when you do your best work. And I felt like Joker could have been just one step too far. And true to the story, like, Roger and I both would walk out of every session. We're like, they're going to fire us. Like, we're going to get fired. And the funny thing is that not only did I get to do it for Arkham Origins, but then they started calling me in for doing stuff in the animated stuff. And that is just like going back to that 12, 13-year-old kid and going, just stick this out, man. It's going to get a lot better. I know you're getting called a lot of names and you're not good at sports. But this is actually going to work out for you. And the thing that inspired you will ultimately be the thing that you will find yourself doing. Wow. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful story.
That's amazing. Yeah. And now the part you wish you had.
I have been very loud about this. I am another comic book hero. I'm a big Daredevil fan. And I love. And I was fortunate enough to actually tell Charlie Cox kind of like to his face. I was like, hey, man, I'm a massive Daredevil. He goes, oh, yeah. I was like, no, the comics. And I was really opposed to you being Daredevil because you can either have blonde hair or red hair, but not black hair. And you can't have an Irish accent. What are you doing? And I said, you really, of all people, for me to be, you know, hypocritical of to say that someone, this is what the role should look like and you can't iterate upon it. I was like, so you just really redefined the role for me. And so I love what they did with the Netflix series. The main reason why I want to in some way be involved in a Daredevil game is because how do you do that game? Because every game is, we play that because that character can do something I can't. What happens when I can do something that the character can't?
That's
cool. There's been a few games, this is not to slight the fact that there have been some games that have touched on being non-sighted or something that's having some normal sense of perception that the character does not have. But I just want to see how they do that with Daredevil. So fingers crossed, eventually
really
Bill
cool.
Russell
okay.
or something.
Putting
we
it in the
happen.
Universe,
right.
manifesting it.
All right, so I guess, but very quickly before we bring in our guest, I just am finally able to announce that I was just cast as Daredevil in the new game coming out. I'm very happy.
Good for you. I can finally tell people. I gotta go.
I was pretty excited. I get carte blanche too. They're letting me write it. I'm doing all the music.
I've never heard of the character
everything.
Before.
Pretty excited. Mo-cap I didn't even
everything.
Know who it was. They just called me and offered me a ridiculous amount of money.
Dar E. DeVille.
Exactly.
Dar E. DeVille. I don't know.
That's the other thing we could talk about at some point, Chor, is you did the music for a lot of your own video game, a lot of the video games you're in.
I did. What's funny is, it wasn't until The Last of Us that they were like, all right, we could do a song. I was like, awesome. Because normally, like, I've pitched a couple of songs for games that I've been in. It's like thinking maybe this will be a thing. They're like, we just think it's weird.
Right.
And if like, because it's kind of like.
Well, it's kind of out of the box. I mean, it is.
Yeah, well,
it's
you
like,
can't
it's
be
like going,
that
oh,
non-diegetic about it. You know, it's like, that's a lead character singing a song. I'm like, that's weird. I get it. You know,
but it's
Bradley
also
Cooper
like, it's
it,
also going in and going like, oh, you hired me as your lead actor. That's awesome. You know what I'd love to do? I also love to do the artwork for the cover. You know what I mean? It's like it's
like
just
we have
a different
guy
thing.
For that.
Yeah, we hired somebody to do this already.
I was like, all right. But they, you know, there was such a character moment, and it was like that was actually an interesting challenge for me. It's like, can you sing as a different character? And never having done musical theater, I'm like, wow, that's a whole unique challenge that I've never thought about doing. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, music is how I originally thought I was going to light the world on fire. I was going to be like, I'm a rock star. Nope.
Sure.
Hey, not
you
at
never
all.
Know. You never know.
Well,
you got to
you
do yours at least.
Star,
I wrote a song
Troy.
For Batman Beyond, and they didn't want my Batman Beyond song, so I was.
But you have
wait,
it.
Seriously?
It's,
you
it's
really
just
did
me
that?
Going, it's Batman Beyond! That
there
was it. And they were like,
Batman Beyond.
They don't like it. They don't like it at all.
The funny thing is, I understand why a lot of like actors or whatever end up having like vanity bands. Like, I understand why Kiefer Sutherland has a band. It's because, you know, that guy is, he grew up with a little bit of a silver spoon in his mouth. But a lot of people who started off wanted to become musicians and then found themselves acting, and that ended up becoming the vehicle for it. It was like, well, now I want to do music where it's a recreation and not a vocation. Because I have a lot of friends that are professional musicians, and that is a scary thing. Like, I know people
I can imagine.
Sidemen for huge bands, they're like, yeah, I'm on tour right now with, you know, Beck or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah, no, it's also, deal. Yeah, it's one of those things too, though, where it's, I mean, like the one who always comes to my mind is River Phoenix, where that's all he wanted to be was a rock star. And one of his bandmates after he passed away said, yeah, he was a rock star who just happened to have a really great day job. And yeah. I always thought that was the cool way of looking at it. Where it was
incredible,
like,
guitarist too.
Yeah,
like, incredible guitarist.
Just,
it's all he
had
he did.
A good day job of being a really good actor and movie star. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that's great. Yep. But I still think the
I think it's the Boy Meets World melody, but you're just it's Bat Meets World. Maybe.
Oh, nice. Mm. I like that. That could
double
work.
Double sued. That's awesome.
I like double sued. I bet that's my
Maybe
day. That's the best
each other
day
out.
For me. If I could get sued by Warner Brothers and Disney in the same day, that is I mean, a
That would
a
be
hot
your
that
Batman is. And the Joker. It's like, that'd be big deal, Troy.
Exactly.
Two letters of cease and desist.
Exactly. I was cease and desisted by
From the
many
two
people.
Biggest companies in the world, from wow. Discovery and Disney. Double
Thank
D's.
You.
What's up?
So now... we're going to bring in our special guest, who is an up-and-coming voiceover actor who is going to work with the great Christy Carlson Romano and Troy Baker, too.
Okay.
So, Elizabeth, do we want to bring him in?
Yes. And now we wait.
Yes. No whammies, no whammies.
Hello,
no whammies.
Justin.
Stop.
My God, that shirt, my friend.
Yes.
It feels like
Hi,
I'm
Justin.
Looking like that's a Pokemon shirt and you caught them all and put them on a shirt.
Hey, everybody.
How are you, Justin? Welcome to I Hear Voices. How are you doing?
Amazing.
I am doing so good, guys. It is just, this is a surreal moment.
Right on, man.
Where are you from, Justin?
So I'm from Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, Bentonville.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
And are you
Bentonville?
Ready? We're going to jump right into it then.
Let's do it.
Do you have your script?
I have it. Let me get it. Yeah, it's right here.
All right, so Troy and Justin, for you, neither of you have been on the show before. We play a little game every week called Across the Garden, where Christy and I play two little mice who we very quickly named Ricky and Mocha, having no idea that we were going to stick with these characters every week.
Yep.
So what then happened is we decided the best game to play is two little mice trying to get across the garden to go to the mall so that Christy can meet her boyfriend at the mall. And all of the crazy woodland creatures and things we meet along the way. And I would like to point out, as we get into this scene, that Justin specifically requested to play, and I thought this was brilliant, a discarded tennis ball.
Yeah.
That just happens to be left in the woods, which is...
This is classic Campbell. You know, it's just the hero's journey.
That's how I look at it as well. It is Beowulf with tennis
obviously.
Balls.
Very.
There's a Homer aspect to it. It is the Iliad. It is the Odyssey.
It is
Justin
I Hear Voices.
As a tennis ball.
those three things all kind of...
They do. They meld
blend
together.
Blend into each other.
So if you don't mind, Troy, we would love for you to play Sean... The incredibly ripped squirrel.
Yes, understood.
You
I
can,
get
of
it.
Course, take do anything with the character that you'd like to do. It is up to you entirely.
Mm.
Christy, you will, of course, be playing Mocha. I will be playing Ricky. And nobody's getting paid for this but me. But we'll get into that later. I've already sold the rights. But just for my character, the toys are being made now. You can see them also sponsoring my new Daredevil show.
Daredevil.
Which we'll get into it. Daredevil.
Daredevil. So,
everybody ready? You got your stuff, Justin?
I'm
ready to go.
To go.
Here we go. We are going to record this in one, and then we'll go get pickups if we need to. And then hopefully we're going to have all this stuff animated. And Justin, you get to be in a cartoon with Troy Baker, which is the coolest thing in the world. I've done it. It's overrated, but it's a lot of fun. So here you go. Mocha and Ricky, we round the corner and we come to a bridge. The water swirls beneath. A voice.
To cross this bridge, you need to meet the troll and wait. Wait. Give me a second. Sorry. Happens all the time. Where was I?
We need to meet the troll and,
Right. We meet the troll and answer three questions.
I hate trolls. They're always clogging up my feed with their negativity. We can't all be fabulous. Just how it is.
Not that kind of troll. The other kind. The horrible, ugly, mean kind. He has me in a spell, and I can't leave.
So wait, how did you get here?
That's a long story.
Okay, well, too bad. We'll just,
And now there's a flashback. Darkness, and then a pop, and light seeps in.
I started in the tomb with my brothers and sisters, as we all do. My first memory... Wait. Give me a second. Sorry. Happens all the time. Where was I?
In the middle of your boring flashback.
Oh, yeah. At first, it was amazing.
Okay, I don't mean to be this guy, but can you cut to the bad part? Because we kind of got to be somewhere.
Wow, fine. hit over the fence, picked up by a dog, chewed on for a while, lost in the garden, evil troll. Happy?
Not in months. Now, how do we...
Bang! Echoes near a bridge.
Oh no, here it comes!
And then in slow motion, we see a beautiful squirrel with great muscles walks out from under the bridge. Mocha is mesmerized as he saunters over to them.
He's hideous!
Oh, quiet you. Can I help you?
Mocha can't stop staring. Hello? Mocha, okay, I guess I'll do the talking. We're trying to get to the mall so my sister can meet her boyfriend.
He's not really my boyfriend. I mean, it's actually pretty casual.
Oh, okay, anywho. Do we have to answer questions or whatever to cross your bridge thingy?
Again with the questions? No, there are no questions. No, maybe one. Is this shirt too tight?
No way.
Absolutely too tight, yes.
Why do you keep telling people they need to answer questions to cross the bridge?
There's something to do.
Forgive him. I'm Sean.
Sean.
I know, pretty cool, right? That's my name. You going to the mall, the big one with the Forever 21, the Never 46?
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to want to take two more bridges than a left at the big oak tree, then a right at the dead body.
What?
Yeah, the big oak tree. Good luck.
Are you on Insta?
Actually, I am. It's at ForgottenFeltBall23.
There are 22 others?
It's a club.
Ugh, come on. Let's go.
And on to the mall we go.
Ta-da!
That was hilarious.
Yay. That was great. Justin, you nailed it, my friend.
Well done, buddy.
You really did.
Thank
you
so much.
Bud. That was amazing.
Kind of awesome. We're gonna animate that for you. By the way, Justin, so everybody knows, where can people find you on your socials?
At Forgotten Felt.
Yeah.
I just said.
21. I'm actually every member of the club. No, it's nice. At Justin Garten on most of the platforms, Facebook, Twitter, at J.R. Garten on Instagram, and at Rappin' Tunes on TikTok.
Nice. And is that what you, is this your dream to be a voiceover actor?
Actually, yeah, it is. I know, you know, I've heard so many stories of like actors who didn't start out doing that, but that pretty much has been my dream. So yeah, it's just incredible to be here with you guys. Some of my childhood heroes and icons that I've grown up with. So, yeah, it's amazing.
And Troy
Who?
Baker.
And Troy Baker. Yeah. No, Troy, I wanted to say, hey, I just finished up season 3 and 4 of Justice League, Young Justice.
Young Justice.
And excellent as Brion, Geo-Force.
Thank you, man.
Man.
Greg and Brandon crushed that show, dude, and everyone that works on it is incredible. I love I was a huge Young Justice fan. You did it to me too, Justin. I was a huge Young Justice fan too. So coming into it and being able to be a part of that conversation that they're having is amazing. Thanks, man. I'm a fan too.
Yeah.
That's great. Justin, thank you so much for joining us. Keep doing what you're doing, my friend. And you're already in a cartoon, so that you're one step ahead.
Ta-da.
Which is incredible.
Thanks for being a fan of our voices.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Will, Christy. Thank you so much for doing this. It's been amazing.
Okay.
So,
appreciate
Bye.
It. Thank you so much, Justin. Thanks for joining us. Oh, that is so much
Yay.
Fun.
Yay.
Those
are really fun.
Great.
I love Will's writing too.
Who
you're so
wrote
good at
this
writing.
Garbage?
It's so good, though.
That was
funny. That was very
Adam
funny.
Adam Beechin wrote it.
Oh, Adam. I love
Adam.
Him.
Don't you love Adam?
Good
well,
dude.
Troy Baker, we were lucky to get you for an hour, so I'm amazed you're still here, frankly.
Yeah. Thank you.
Didn't I'm happy to do it.
As you were doing this, also record 3 new video games?
I think you did.
But I mean, I'll do the third one. Third was really just kind of pickups ADR. It's fine.
That's good. The funny part is, from the waist down, Troy is still mocap.
No pants. Oh, yes. No pants. Yes.
He's in the spandex
also, yes.
with the balls.
Yeah. He's in this with the balls for the waist down. The GoPro pointed. Well, everybody.
No.
So, Troy, as we did with Justin, where can everybody find you on socials, as if we even have to ask?
What am I? I'm Official Troy Baker on the Instas, at Troy Baker VA on the Twitters. I haven't jumped on the TikTok yet. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I won't. If I have something to say, then I'll probably jump onto it. So yeah,
there you go.
Holler at me there, I guess, as people say.
Do they?
Do they?
Does anyone say that?
Nope. Nobody does.
Thank you so much for talking with us. The legendary Troy Baker has joined us. Thank you, everybody. Just play a video game or watch a cartoon and you will
see everywhere.
Probably
Troy
there.
Baker.
He's probably
he
there.
Is everywhere. It gets a little creepy. And once again, we are sponsored by my new Daredevil show coming out in March. Daredevil. It is a wonderful show. I get to do everything on it. It's awesome. For the record, none of that is true. I'm just making Troy feel bad. Thank you so much for joining us, my friend. Christy, have fun. Yeah. Go get more sun and whatever by the ocean.
Little mommy time. Little mommy time here in Cancun. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Yeah.
But I was in Cancun right now.
Yeah, that's what she says. She's just in front of a really weird teal.
It's the Mandalorian really screen, actually.
It's really weird that they had this. I was like, oh, perfect for my podcast.
And will you be podcasting while you're with us this weekend?
Exactly.
I will. We have our podcasting accommodations.
Have our podcast screen.
Oh,
there
my
we
God.
Go. We have you in the podcast suite.
No mini fridge. No mini fridge, but they do have a podcast.
We have all your podcast stuff
you needed.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Jesus.
Troy Baker, thank you so much, my friend.
We'll see you
soon.
Make
every day a joy. And from your philosophy to your work, it is always a pleasure. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
I Hear Voices is hosted by Will Friedle and Christy Carlson Romano. Produced by Elizabeth Joy Windham and executive produced by Brendan Rooney and Will Friedle. Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham, and our video editor is Eduardo Gamba. And that was my announcer voice.
Some side effects of listening to I Hear Voices are sore abs from hilarity, falling down the Cocomelon rabbit hole, sneezing due to mass nostalgia, and hugs.
Follow I Hear Voices wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of the amazing voices.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I Hear Voices Podcast. To see the video stream, subscribe to my YouTube channel.
You can also check us out on MySpace, Omegle, Vine, LimeWire, AIM, and Napster.
Okay, Will, let's teach you about the internet.
The what?